Hi, I'm Professor Allen.
And I'm Emily, and you're listening to the Shortbox Showcase.
Episode 4, Feedback Time!
Today we answer our email, allow ourselves to bask in our listeners' love, and answer a few hard-hitting questions.
We'll also take this opportunity to shout out to people who've helped us out, getting this little podcast empire of ours up and going. Empire might be an exaggeration.
Possibly.
So, we have some emails from our email inbox. And Emily, these people who sent us emails, how did they do that?
They sent them to relativelygeeky@gmail.com?
That is the correct answer.
Awesome. Sorry, I have a really bad fit of the giggles.
If there's one thing we have learned, Emily, being fans of such podcasts as the Fantasticast, Two True Freaks, Just One of the Guys, it's that professionalism is the highest form of professionalism.
I'm sorry.
Do I need to pull this podcast over, young lady?
It might not be a bad idea. Okay, let's start the actual show. Our first email is from Michael Bradley. Alan and Emily, I wanted to drop you a quick email to let you know I've been enjoying all the shows on the Relatively Geeky Network. I realize all the shows are still young, but you're off to a strong start on all three, and I look forward to hearing more. I'm kind of terrible at parsing individual episodes for insightful feedback and commentary. Don't worry, we've got Jack and Eddie for that. But I appreciate the different tracks the shows are on, particularly with the Quarter Bin podcast. As I and many of my comic reading friends become increasingly disillusioned with modern comics and spend more time in the back issue bins, it's important to remember that an entertaining read doesn't have to cost $3.99. Keep up the good work, and I'll keep listening. Michael.
And that is Michael Bradley from the Thrilling Adventures of Superman podcast. I want to give a particular shout-out to Michael, because he was one of the people who was helpful to us at the start of getting these podcasts up and going. He helped out on a very particular technical issue that I had posted in the Facebook podcasting group. It ended up being a pretty simple fix, but I had no idea what that fix was. And Michael posted a reply that worked perfectly. So he gets a special, relatively geeky shout-out.
Awesome.
So as you can probably tell, this feedback episode is going to be for all of the shows on our feed. We got some general feedback, like Michael's, about all the shows. We also got some specific feedback about specific episodes. And we're going to be replying and reading feedback from Quarter Bin Podcast, Uncovering the Bronze Age, and Shortbox Showcase.
Well, speaking of individual feedback and Jackanetti, Professor, hey there, man. Just listened to the first episode of the Quarter Bin podcast. It was great fun. I was reading Superman in this period, and thus I had this issue of Adventures of Superman. I was and remain a fan of Conduit. As the guy who was always second best to Clark Kent, Kenny Braverman had a very unique sort of motivation for Superman's rogues gallery at the time. I also loved his power suit look, like an Iron Man villain. And as the biggest Iron Man fan I know, this is a good thing in my book. The Superman books from the triangle-numbered era were always good about making each issue a solitary story, which was also part of a longer, ongoing saga. Looking forward to hearing more from the Quarter Bin, Luke. P.S. I picture you podcasting while wearing a tweed jacket with elbow pads covered in chalk dust, like Professor Moriarty. Do with this information what you will.
I don't even teach in a tweed jacket and chalk dust, much less podcasting.
Or a tie.
That, of course, Luke Jackanetti, host of Earth Destruction Directive and various other internet-y and podcast things.
So we will just say this needs more Ultraman and move on. This show does not need more Ultraman.
But if we were going to dub this show and do subtitles, we would make sure that the dubbing and the subtitles conflicted with one another. That's a reference to anyone who's ever seen the Ultraman DVDs.
But this is not an Ultraman podcast, as much as you wish it were. From Sean Engel, dear Professor Allen, I just wanted to congratulate you on the debut of your brand new show, as well as the entire Relatively Geeky Network. The concept of your show is straightforward in that you cover a comic each show that you got for 25 cents or less. Many people would be led to believe that something of that value would also be of poor writing or artistic merit. But oftentimes, you will find amazing gems hidden amongst these books. Especially in the era of the 1990s, where publishing runs were so high that it oversaturated the market. There were many great stories to be found that are simply in those bins due to people thinking if they had 5 copies of each, they would be able to sell them later and put their kids through college. How naive we were.
Yeah, we actually talked about this on a recent episode of the Book Guy Show. I showed off some of my recent purchases from the quarter bin, and part of that purchase was a 4-issue Shadow graphic novel series and a 3-issue Adam Strange graphic novel series, which are 20 years later in beautiful shape because they're on high gloss paper, high quality covers. These 7 books that I picked up had a combined original list price 20 plus years ago of over $30, and I picked them up for under $2 total.
Yeah, not the best of investments was that one.
As a business and investing and finance professor.
Even though you don't have a tweed jacket.
Let me just say this. Comic books, a wonderful hobby, a fine pastime, and not a very good investment plan.
Back to the email. The format has a random nature to it, so you won't be covering a particular run of comics. This way you can cover the broad spectrum of books, hopefully not only focusing on the tights and capes crowd. And the show length is excellent as well. A nice digestible listen that's good for a ride in the car to work or a quick jog around town. I'm not saying anything bad about those shows that can run for a good 4+ hours. I'm looking at you, Fire and Water Podcast. But it's nice to hear a concise, well-presented show that is both entertaining and to the point. It's a great start, and I can't wait to hear more from you. All the best, Sean Angle.
And that, of course, is Sean Angle from the Just One of the Guys podcast. Who, True Freaks? And Walking Dead Wednesday, among others.
By among others, you mean Just One of Them, Their Guys. Which I totally knew about, Jack and Eddie. We'll be getting to that in a minute.
Yes, well, I did want to give Sean a special shout-out. He, again, was one of the people that I contacted when I was getting this idea up and going for the podcasts and had some technical questions. I tracked down a couple of podcasters who seemed like they would be nice and that they would be helpful, and they didn't reply, so I went to Sean. No, that's just...
Dad, the point of having a podcast is to help your friends and crush your enemies, not make new enemies.
And get free stuff.
That too.
Sean Engel, very helpful in the early days, giving me some encouragement, listening to early drafts of the promos that we ended up going with. And he has since played our promos in Just One of Them There Guys. Very kind of him. So special shout outs to him for giving some encouragement, some good advice early on.
Feedback now for Shortbox Showcase number 1, the first of our themed topic-y episodes. So we'll have lots of comments that we can sort of further our opinions and occasionally defend or recant opinions from earlier. We'll get to that. Dear Professor and Emily, I wanted to be among the first to congratulate you both on the start of an excellent podcast. I'm a lifelong comics fan and reader, and I've always had the desire to set up my own podcast, but just never seemed able to find the time to sit and do it. So I admire the both of you for putting together a well-prepared, well-thought-out program for us comic geeks to enjoy. As for episode 1 of Shortbox Showcase, I've always been at a loss as to what the official name for this age of comics should be. Modern age just seems so vague in my opinion. I've heard the term chromium age, in reference to the many chromium covers that came out during the 90s. Speaking of which, I appreciate your balanced view toward the 90s. Like any other age or decade, it had its ups and downs, but contrary to popular belief, not everything from the 90s sucks. A couple of questions, if you don't mind. Emily, do you read comics because your dad is a comics reader, or is this a habit that you've picked up on your own? Do your friends know that you read comics, and if so, what do they think? Are you both aware of a podcast called Hey Kids Comics? It's hosted by a nice British chap named Andrew Leyland, along with his son Michael. The dynamics of having a father and son on a podcast is always interesting, so I'm anxious to see how a father-daughter team-up works. Thanks again for giving us a great new podcast to listen to and enjoy. If you keep putting out great episodes like this one, I'll keep listening. Sincerely, Chris McGee.
Well, thanks, Chris. There's a couple questions there for Emily to answer, but also one for me. What is this Leland? I don't speak British. I don't understand what... No, of course the Leylands were a big influence on conceptualizing the idea of the cross-generational dynamic that they have on their show. And certainly that's part of the impetus for doing this show together. Actually, when we first started the concept of our podcasts, this was the third show we had come up with. Emily came up with Uncovering the Bronze Age. I came up with the Quarter Bin podcast, and it was maybe a couple days later that we sort of kicked around the idea, well, maybe every now and then we can do a show together.
Right. I am a big fan of Fantasticast. I haven't actually listened to very much Hey Kids Comics, but I am a big fan of Andrew Leyland and his snarky fake Northern British accent, and they're great guys. Fantasticast has played a couple of our promos.
And has specifically Hey Kids Comics on a recent episode also played our promo, and Andy even said nice things about it. And in terms of the Fantasticast, both he and Steve Lacey have both been big supporters on Facebook and also on their shows. So we definitely big shout outs to them. Cheers, blimey mates.
Righto, awesome, whatever.
Cheerio? What? Now, specifically in this email, Chris asked a specific question about you, about comic books, and how you got into them.
I've been a sort of, I would say, casual DC fan for most of my life. I was a big fan of the animated series in the 90s and the early 2000s. That's really what got me into comics. But I do still have the first comic book that my dad ever bought me when I was 4 or 5 years old. And I do have the first comic book that I ever bought for myself when I was about 7. I haven't been a big reader until pretty recently, basically when I went to college. And it is sort of funny that even though I didn't know that much about a lot of books, I sort of became the DC jack of all trades, that I'd probably heard of something and knew at least a little bit more than the other people at college. So I became the go-to guru, which is kind of ironic in retrospect. Now I am the Padawan. I love comics, and I started picking them up pretty regularly a couple of years ago, so.
And I wanted to address the notion of the Chromium Age that Chris mentioned in his email. I really like that. I think it has a nice ring to it in terms of golden, silver, bronze. It sort of keeps at least that nomenclature going.
Consistency.
Yeah, that consistency of using decreasingly precious metal names as you go forward. But also, I was listening to, may have been Views from the Long Box or a Tutu Freaks episode, but somebody, again, maybe Thomas DJ, maybe the Irredeemable Shag, as part of the conversation, referred to aspects of the 90s as the Chromium Age. And I think that was the first time I'd heard it just in sort of regular conversation. So I think that is probably out there. So if we're putting the end of the Bronze Age in the mid-80s, maybe 86, and we're calling the next era the Chromium Age, that still probably ended around 2000-ish, if we're implying that that was a really 90s-centric concept, then we still don't really have a name for this era. I kind of like the Trade Age, though that sounds kind of boring, or the Franchise Age, which Emily threw out in Shortbox Showcase number 1. So I still think we don't have a really good handle on what the current age is. Again, as Chris said in his email, modern age just sort of sits flat because at some point in 10 years, that'll be the modern age. And 10 years after that, that'll be the modern age.
Well, it looks like we'll just have to wait 10 years and find out.
That's probably about right.
This was a fun email, if only because Chris McGee gets a super special awesome shout out for being our first random listener. In that he was not a person that my dad had been talking to on Facebook, had been contacting through Twitter, or in the podcasters group. He was just some guy who came out of the woodwork and listened to our episode and liked it.
Just some awesome guy who came out of the woodwork, listened to our show.
Just some incredibly cool dude who showed up to send us an email out of the blue and really surprised us. We were like, oh, we've actually arrived. We have a listener who we didn't have to bribe into sending us an email by playing a promo.
I don't think bribe. I think maybe blackmail. A more appropriate term. Thank you.
True, true. Very true. Next email, the return of Jackanetti.
Jackanetti.
With feedback for Shortbox Showcase number 1. Professor and Emily, good topic, the different ages of comic books. I do want to talk about some genre books and how they were addressed after the Comics Code. This is appreciated because he addresses war comics, horror comics, crime comics, a lot of things that neither of us are really knowledgeable about. So
I think it's important to remember, we haven't used this phrase in every episode, but I think it should be the official motto of the Shortbox Showcase, and that is, we're not experts.
We're just family.
So Luke drops some comic history knowledge on us.
So to summarize, war comics were continually published until the 1980s. They were somewhat sanitized by the Comics Code, but not very much. The code focused a lot more on horror, crime, and superhero books rather than war and western. Horror comics mostly became monster comics. A lot of horror comics from EC were forced to end due to the code, unfortunately. Crime comics, which was something that we hadn't really thought about that much, or at least I hadn't, were a really big bread and butter for EC comics, and those were pretty much completely removed by the code. He then transitions into some feedback about the episode itself, mostly my comment on I hate the 90s, and he gives me a long list of things that I do intend to read someday. I promise I will. I will admit, I have not read very much 90s stuff. I thoroughly admit that. I will not entirely recount my statement that a lot of stuff in the 90s sucked. A lot of the stuff that was popular in the 90s sucked. However, lots of great titles. He mentions Doom Patrol, Sandman, Animal Man, Excalibur, Flash, Green Lantern, Superman. Lots of great stuff. So, yes, there is awesome stuff in the 90s.
Yeah, I think we were using the phrase the 90s in the casual sense as a way of saying big pocket Liefeld Lee stuff with the crazy costumes and the weird-looking feet and the bizarre musculature and the...
the run-and-gun, growl-and-grit style of comics. We were not specific enough when we were using the term. We used it very broadly, and I apologize to Jack and Eddie. Luke then takes us to task for our complaints about DC renumbering when Marvel does it a lot more frequently and more aggressively. I think our complaint was more, since we don't read Marvel very often, we don't tend to be affected by its renumberings or any of its poor decisions that have been made.
Yeah, I'm definitely much more of a DC fanboy than a Marvel zombie. So what DC does tends to affect me more both on the positive side and on the negative side. So our views of DC will probably be a little more extreme both directions.
He closes us out with entreatment to read US 1 and listen to just one of them, their guys. I do love US 1. For all that I make jokes about it, it is a wonderful, ridiculous concept, and I do love it.
And in my reply to Luke, I said, well, you know, Emily, being a young person, tends to overstate her feelings on the 90s, you know.
Only slightly.
That's how kids are these days.
Only
with their sweeping and snarky generalizations.
And you know what? People like the snark. You know, I'm not going to change it if it's not broken. It's getting me listeners.
Also, and my comment on US 1 is just that it's such a punchline for early 80s comics, sort of in the same way that Dazzler is a punchline for a certain era of comics, or Youngbloods is a punchline for a different era of comics. It's a ridiculous concept told with actually some earnestness.
Yeah, I'm gonna say this. Youngblood is much more painful to read by a lot. Youngblood, actually, I can't stand Youngblood.
And one of the prior emailers, it might have been Michael Bradley, talked about he doesn't really parse specific parts to send in an email. He sent a very general email. Obviously, Luke is on the other side. And we welcome both kinds of emails.
We welcome all emails.
So we appreciate Luke's specific and detailed questions and comments. That is one of the things that Jack and Eddie is known for in the podosphere.
Yes, indeed. So thank you, Luke. Next up, from the Billy Hogan. Dear Professor Allen and Emily, I've listened to the first episodes of all three of your podcasts and enjoyed them very much. The Quarterbin episode had a sense of fun with the story you reviewed. Your discussion of the different eras of comic history was enjoyable, but the closer we get to the current comic book era, the more difficult it is to differentiate between various eras. And I'm looking forward to listening to Emily talk about Bronze Age stories. That's the era I became a teenager and graduated high school, so it'll be a nice flashback for me. I've subscribed to your podcast in iTunes, and I'll be looking forward to future episodes. From Billy Hogan of Superman Fan Podcast.
And Billy, along with Sean Engel, was one of the people that I contacted early on for advice and sort of best practices, because Billy's one of the longtime Superman podcasters. And we're actually using the specific technical setup that Billy uses, that he recommended in terms of how we do our hosting and our website and the software we use. So Billy deserves a very big shout out. Billy also left us an iTunes rating and review, and I don't want to say it's our only rating and review. I simply want to say it's the first of one.
So in other words, if you're enjoying listening to us ramble on about ourselves this episode or other comic book topics, you know, on previous episodes, go to iTunes, leave us a rating and review, and we would appreciate that.
I do need to mention one other piece of feedback that we got, and that is from my co-host on the Book Guy show, Paul Alves, Paul the Book Guy, who left also a rating and review. He's in Toronto, so that showed up on the Canadian iTunes store. And the great thing about Canada is that one download and one five-star review got us on New and Noteworthy for about 72 hours in Canada.
What can I say? We're big in Canada.
One download and one review makes you big in Canada.
Well, I mean, there aren't people in Canada. It's just Paul.
So on that note of Canada bashing, or was it Canada loving? I can't tell. We're going to take a break, play a promo, and Emily and I will be back with some more emails right after this.
Greetings, podcast listener. Do you like
Ready to Form Voltron?
Or maybe
I am Batman!
Or
this is a job for Superman.
Do you remember
Power Rangers?
Or this?
Right away, Michael.
Or maybe even this?
Autobots, transform!
Or this?
By the power of Grayskull!
Or
for the honor of Grayskull!
Or have you seen the latest episode of
Hello, I'm the Doctor.
If you answered yes to any of these questions, then check out Charlie's Geekcast, hosted by me, Charlie Niemeyer. Charlie's Geekcast is a bi-weekly podcast covering comics and other geek stuff. The first episode of each month is devoted to comics, where, currently, I'm covering Grant Morrison's run on JLA, one storyline at a time. The other episode of the month is devoted to whatever else I want to talk about, such as movies, TV shows, cartoons, video games, and more. Feel free to check it out at www.charliesgeekcast.com. You'll be glad you did. Well, hopefully.
This is the All-Father Odin, and you should be listening to Radio Free Asgard.
No, that's just not going to work. Let's try this again.
This is the evil Loki, and if you hate Thor as much as I do, you should be...
All right, let's just try one more thing.
Jane Foster here, and you should be... Risen.
All right, let's just keep this simple. Hello, everybody. My name is Tom Harris, and I do a podcast called Radio Free Asgard, which airs every Thursday over at radiofreeasgard.com. We cover the adventures of Thor, Hercules, and more from ancient times all the way up into the present day. We read old comics and make fun of them. I do ridiculous voices and generally make an ass of myself. So if that sounds fun to you, you should come join us, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin, over at radiofreeasgard.com. And we'll see you there.
The next email is feedback for my show.
Oh, yeah!
Emily, technically this could be considered an email for both the zero and first episodes of your show as I listen to both back-to-back, but the focus in this missive is about your coverage of Superman 233. Thanks to the school library having a copy of Superman from the 30s to the 70s, this story was one of the first Superman comics I read, and it remains one of my favorites to this day. You would think that given that it is one of my favorites that I would be rather put out by you taking the piss out of it for 20 or so minutes, but for one thing I have a rather thick skin about such things, and for another you were damn funny, and funny always wins out in these situations. I am very glad to know that, because when it's just me and a microphone at 3 in the morning, you start to feel a little bit insane, so it's good to know that the humor is actually funny. I was glad that you saw the good in the story through the Bronze Age goofiness. This is a solid story with some fantastic art. Kurt Swan was always good at the everyday stuff, so not only does Superman look good, but the quiet panels, like the guy watching television at home, look amazing. That being said, the one thing about this story is that it's called Superman Breaks Loose, and the splash page promises that we're going to see a Superman we've never seen before, and boy, are people going to be scared, and we get, well, none of that. Not that I want to see Superman lose his shit and start pulping people, but if you tell the audience that Superman is going to break loose, he should do more than be a little rougher than normal. Other than that, it is a fun story and a great first official episode. Keep up the good work. Regards, Michael Bailey, Superman apologist.
Oh yeah, you've been schooled by Michael Bailey.
That is the greatest compliment I have received so far.
Michael Bailey, of course. Views from the Long Box fame, from Crisis to Crisis, who did play our promos recently. And Mike has also been a very faithful supporter on Facebook in terms of reposting and commenting and getting the word about our podcast out there. So despite those horrible, mean things you said about my daughter, we're glad to have you as a listener.
Thanks, Michael. this email made my day. As for Superman getting rougher, it happens a little bit more later on in, at least for me, in the trade. So around Superman 240 or so, he starts going, cuckoo pants. A little crazy. So hopefully you'll tune back in to Uncovering the Bronze Age in 4 or 5 episodes when I get to it. Back to Chris McGee for Shortbox Showcase number 2. Dear Professor and Emily, thanks for another great podcast. For this episode, I've always felt that while important, continuity should never be all-consuming. That doesn't mean that writers and editors shouldn't be aware of it and try their best to maintain continuity. But when you're dealing with characters who've been around for 4 decades or more, something is going to get out of whack. The readers have to remember that these are fictional stories being told about people and places that aren't real. I say this because I remember the fury that arose among comic fans when DC's New 52 was announced. People at comic shops and message boards were outraged over the changes being made. Me personally, I feel that when it gets to that point, you're starting to take this stuff a little too seriously. Don't get me wrong, I love taking a step outside of reality to visit the alternate realities that we get from comics and other forms of entertainment. But in the end, it should be that. Entertainment. Some comic fans get so obsessed about continuity that they forget why they're reading the damn things in the first place. Well, that's my 2 cents. Just thought I'd write in real quick and let you both know you're doing a great job with the podcast. Sincerely, Chris McGee.
Thanks, Chris. I do agree that sometimes we take our continuity a little too seriously. You know, it is tricky because you want your stories to make sense. You want actions to have consequences, both in terms of plot and in terms of character. And that's the positives that continuity can bring. You also want writers and artists to be able to tell their own stories to some extent. So I think continuity should be sort of guardrails, but it should be a pretty wide highway.
Yeah. Continuing with the feedback for Shortbox Showcase number 2, Dear Professor Allen and Emily, I'm enjoying your individual podcasts, and you make a great team. Both of you have a great sense of humor and play off each other in a fun way. Your team-up podcast reminds me of another podcast, How I Got My Wife to Read Comics. On the subject of continuity, I do know some superhero continuity trivia, although I'm not in Mark Waid's league. What I look for in a character's continuity isn't a slavish dedication to something that's happened in past issues, but a feeling of consistency. One of the problems I've had with some creators who wanted to make their mark on a character is that they ignore everything that's been done before. That's one of the reasons some characters, like Hawkman, have such twisted and conflicting history. I like what Steve Englehart once said. When he said that if he didn't like what a previous creator did to a character he was beginning to work on, then he would craft a story that would take the character from where the previous creator left him off to where Steve wanted the character to be. I've always looked at continuity on a long-running character, like Iron Man, for instance, as being on an elastic timeline. That way it makes sense to me that Tony Stark began his career as Iron Man during the Vietnam War, but is still a fairly young and virile superhero. In other words, I don't think about it much. Good plan. For myself, trying to pin a hero's history to a specific timeline takes the fun out of enjoying the stories and history of a superhero character. Keep up the good work, and I look forward to listening to future episodes. Billy Hogan.
I don't know if I mentioned before when we were heaping praise upon Billy, but he also has played our promos multiple times there in the regular rotation on Superman Fan Podcast.
I like the point that he made here about the difference between continuity and consistency, and really, I think we tried to get to that a little bit with our discussion of character continuity, but I really like the way he said that, just consistency. And it is a little annoying, almost, or ironic, or something, that we have to praise what Steve Englehart says, that if he didn't like what a previous creator was doing, then he would write a story that would transition. Isn't that assumed? That should be standard.
Yeah, that should not be the exception.
Yeah, that should not be the exception to the rule. That should be pretty standard.
I've actually heard some comic writers, when they're interviewed, talk about that that's their plan. Their plan is to, you know, they use the analogy of, you know, I get to play with the toys in the toy box, but I make sure I put them back in the toy box in about the same condition I found them when I'm done. I think some of this lack of continuity can sometimes come to editorial control about wanting a story. Creator shifts. Perhaps a creator has a 12 or 18 or 24 issue arc that they're planning for the character that will, in essence, leave them back where they started. But after the ninth issue, they're fired or removed from the book, and then someone else has to try to pick up those pieces without knowing where the other creator was going.
Right.
I also want to talk again a little bit about continuity and give an example from the world of literature. And I talked about this on the Book Guys podcast once, and it was something I wanted to bring up in Short Box Showcase number 2. One of my favorite mystery series is the Alphabet series by Sue Grafton. Her character is a private investigator named Kinsey Milhone. And these are the books, you may have seen them at the library, at the bookstore. A is for Alibi, B is for Burglar, C is for Corpse, etc. She's just recently released W. And when she wrote the first book in the mid-1980s, she placed her character firmly in the mid-1980s. Ronald Reagan is the president. There are payphones on every corner. There are four channels on your TV if you get the PBS station. At the time that she wrote those first few novels, they were contemporary mystery fiction. So she had a number of options as to how to deal with the series, which she did sign a 26-book contract to write books A through Z, so she knew it was going to take her over 30 years, and she had some options. One is to do the Marvel sliding timescale, and simply to have her character the same age, but have her be in the first book 30 years old during the Reagan administration, and by the 10th book be 30 years old in the Clinton administration, and now be 30 years old in the Obama administration. And now have cell phones, and now have wireless. Or she could have aged the character in real time and had a 30-year-old character for the first book and now have a 55 to 60-year-old character. That's, you know, another authorial option. So what she ended up doing was to keep the stories in the same era as when she wrote them. Now, these are private investigator stories. The books themselves take place maybe over a couple of weeks, and even though 12 or 18 months may pass between publication, in some cases only a few weeks pass in the life of the character. And so 23 books later, only a couple of years have passed. And the odd aspect of that is what started off as a contemporary detective series has become, in essence, a period piece. And her books are still taking place in the 1980s. And so that's sort of an odd effect you have of continuity. By maintaining that continuity, she's now writing very different types of stories than she was when she began. And comic book creators have to decide, or comic book companies, editors, have to decide how they're going to handle that passage of time. Some try the real-world time frame. Some try the sliding time scale, and there are other options. There's some, like DC, try a regular reboot.
Yeah, that's interesting. We have one more feedback for Shortbox Showcase number 2. Everyone liked us talking about continuity and wanted to join in with their own views on it. From Luke Giaconetti.
Giaconetti.
Emily and the Professor, which sounds like it should be an animated TV show. You want to animate it? I'll sell you the rights right now. Just a quick comment regarding continuity. Peter David said it best. A shared universe, like any fictional construct, hinges on suspension of disbelief. When continuity is tossed away, it tatters the construct, undermines it. This deals more with story continuity more so than reboots and retcons, but it addresses the fundamental flaw of writers who toss out continuity in ongoing comics for the sake of the story. If you want to write a one-off story, do a one-shot or a miniseries. Don't just twist and contort the ongoing story. That's my thought anyway. Keep up the good work, folks. Luke. I love that quote. I Oh my gosh, that's brilliant. That is so perfect.
Well, you know, Peter David, a great sci-fi writer, comic books writer, TV writer, wrote some Babylon 5.
Oh, excellent. I should go and look up those episodes. This is something that I am so on board with. I think that one of the things that we do sort of lose in the modern oeuvre of comic books is continual miniseries, or a series of miniseries, if that makes sense. Because we do live in the trade era, a lot of ongoing stories are written with 4 to 8 issue arcs that can be published as a trade. But the idea of the actual miniseries of having a fixed story with a beginning and an end, which you can maybe put together in order to form an ongoing series, but each one is sort of its own standalone, I think is something that we're really lacking in comics in general today.
Yeah, I would say probably the 80s into the mid-90s was sort of the high watermark for miniseries. And, and when I replied to Luke, I agreed with him. I think what the world needs now is more miniseries.
Definitely.
I think that's... And the one-shots, I think that's a great way of telling stories without having to fall into this mode of it's always an ongoing story, a never-ending story. The nice thing about miniseries or one-shots is that they do give you a chance to end that story. It doesn't end the life of the character or anything like that, but you tell a beginning, a middle, and an end, and then next month you start with a new beginning, then a new middle, and a new end.
This is something that I'm going to take a quick tangent. It's something that I think that webcomics are doing pretty well, because when I was thinking about this, between your Sue Grafton talking of, you know, signing a contract for an ongoing series, but the series does have a finite end eventually, and each of the books has an end, but together forming this ongoing story, I was sort of reminded of Schlock Mercenary, which will tend to have a very fixed arc. And you can read almost any of the Schlock books independent of the others. You know, you won't necessarily get as many of the character interactions, you won't understand all of the backstory, but you're not going to be at a loss. I've read one of the Schlock books, don't even remember which one, but it was one of the random ones from a year or two ago, volume 12 or whatever by this point. That idea of you can nest miniseries into each other to create an ongoing series in every book. At the end of each Sue Grafton novel, you need to have a climax and a big moment and a big bad and a resolution. And then you know that there will still be another one. The series will continue. But that sort of closure is something that I think that webcomics are really grabbing onto and filling that niche where mainstream print comics are not.
That's interesting. And I would be remiss in dealing with an email from Luke Giaconetti if I didn't point out that in a recent Earth Destruction Directive episode, he did point out that the Godzilla comic books, published by, I think, IDW, have done a very good job at doing some one-shots and doing miniseries.
Excellent.
And it would be nice if more characters and more creators could move in that direction.
Awesome. Well, that brings us to the end of our feedback pile. Do you have any more shout-outs for people?
Yeah, I do want to shout out to a couple of people. One is Ed Moore. He's a podcaster who podcasts with his family.
Oh.
So he was another one of the people whose advice I sought out, specifically about podcasting with family members. So I just want to give a shout out to Ed Moore, who does the Mighty Thorcast with his wife, and does the Emerald Archer, a Green Arrow podcast with his son, and he does a number of other TV and other podcasts as well. Also wanted to thank Tom Harris, Radio Free Asgard, for playing our promo. Charlie Niemeyer has played our promo on both Charlie's Geekcast and on Superman in the Bronze Age, so thanks, Charlie. And of course, a big thanks to the guys at Two True Freaks for the original Get Off Your Butt and Make a Podcast episode many years ago, and then the recent one that they updated and released about 2 months ago with Scott, Chris, and Mike Bailey this time. And that was one we had already had the idea of doing the podcast, and we're kicking around some of the details when that episode came out, and Emily and I listened to that episode on a long drive, stopping it regularly to chat and talk about and reflect on what they were saying, and picked up some very good, helpful hints from that.
All right. So I'm going to give my own little piece of advice. Chris McGee had mentioned earlier, I've been interested in starting a podcast, but I haven't found the time. And, you know, Two True Freaks would say, get off your butt and make a podcast. Just do it. I would say get off your butt and find someone who will do all of your editing and set a schedule for you, because that is how I podcast. As you may have noticed, I have released 1.5 episodes and my dad has released 4 and 5 of this and this show, which I do not have to do anything for except show up, make jokes, talk about something.
Read emails.
Yeah, I just need to sit here and talk at the microphone, and then I can leave, and then it's all his responsibility.
Yeah, so hire a producer. Have you hired me?
I made dinner last night.
I guess that counts.
Close enough.
In order for us to have another feedback episode down the road, Emily, what would people have to do?
Why, they would have to email us at relativelygeeky@gmail.com. We are around on Facebook and Twitter, twitter.com/ProfessorAllen. I don't use my Twitter, so I'm not even going to bother giving it out. Contact us through any of those ways. You're a podcaster, throw our promo out there, and we will return the favor.
So again, a thank you to everyone who sent feedback or has left an iTunes review or been kind to us in any way. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, and we'll talk to you later. Thunk.
Some of this will be edited out unless you hear it, in which case I forgot to.
Should we say that we'll edit this out so that then we cannot?